This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. This morning, the U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments in Sebelius v. Hobby Lobby Stores. The heart of the case is that Hobby Lobby, a corporation owned by a Southern Baptist family, the Greens, who are morally opposed to abortion, and the Affordable Care Act requires them to provide employee health insurance that provides birth control, which the Hobby Lobby sees as a form of abortion. They don't want to do it, and they don't want to pay the substantial fines to the government that they would incur. Hobby Lobby says this portion of the ACA violates their religious freedom. Well, what do you think? Call in at 210-614-8980. We want to hear your questions and your comments. 210-614-8980. You could also email your ideas and thoughts and questions and comments to the source at tpr.org, or go to the show page on our website at tpr.org and type in there. Our guest this half hour, Roger Pilon. He is with the Center for Constitutional Studies at the Cato Institute, a libertarian think tank, and David H. Gans. He is the director of the Human Rights, Civil Rights, and Citizenship Program at the Constitutional Accountability Center. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Thank you.
So how do you think it went today? I guess you followed along. You've been hearing reports about how the arguments went in the Supreme Court. So Roger, can you kind of handicap what you hear?
Yes. I think that Nina Totenberg at the top of the hour in your news put it correctly when she said the three women on the court were clearly in favor of this contraceptive mandate, whereas you had probably three justices on the other side, namely Scalia, probably Thomas, and Alito. Then we have Roberts and Kennedy. And it looks like at least Roberts is going to be probably on the side of the conservatives, at least from his remarks. And Kennedy was on both sides, but I'd have to say, on balance, he's probably on the conservative side. And that leaves the one I did not mention, Breyer. And he offered only a couple of comments, and he seemed to be a little uneasy with either side, focusing on the question of whether the so-called exception for the religious liberty could be restrained in some way. And there the argument dealt with that the government could provide for this. He asked, could the government provide for contraceptives and therefore relieve the religious employers from having to provide the contraceptive?
So, Roger, it sounds like you're saying that it looks like that there is an edge towards the Hobby Lobby winning this case. David H. Gans from the Constitutional Accountability Center, what say you?
Well, so it was undoubtedly a very sharply divided argument, and as it always seems, Kennedy was very much in the middle. You know, in many ways, the big question at the heart of the case is whether Hobby Lobby's owners will be entitled to impose their religious beliefs on Hobby Lobby's employees and deny them federal rights that are critical to women's health. And I think it's important that Justice Kennedy questioned Paul Clement, Hobby Lobby's attorney, about, you know, does the fact that we're dealing with a secular business who's not a religious organization, who hires employees of all faiths, you know, does the employer's religion trump and cancel out the rights of their employees? And in some ways, the fundamental question is, do employees count at all? And can a secular business simply override their rights? And I think that's why we heard a lot today about the importance of contraception to protecting women's health and protecting to women's freedom. But we also heard, if for the first time in history a broad range of religious exemptions are given to secular businesses to override the rights of their workers who have their own religious beliefs, their own rights to personal liberty and personal autonomy, you know, the net balance is, I think, a loss for liberty. And I think Justice Kennedy and the other justices will be sort of grappling with what will it mean for the first time in history to give secular for-profit corporations religious free exercise rights and allow them to impose their religious views on their employees. And that, you know, I think we have a divided court, and I think, you know, we will see in June a divided set of opinions. But I think, you know, it's fundamental that Kennedy recognized that the rights of employees have to matter in this calculus.
David, could I respond directly to a point that David Gans just made? He began by saying that this raises the question of whether a religious employer can impose his religious beliefs on employees. Now, that is understandably posed that way by the other side, but I think it could be posed more correctly in just the opposite way. It isn't that the employer is imposing his beliefs on the religious or on the employee. The employee is at perfect liberty to provide herself with her own contraceptives. Nobody is prohibiting her from buying contraceptives on her own. What is being prohibited by this so-called exception is forcing the employer to pay for the contraceptive. That's where the direction that the force is going. The employee is at perfect liberty to buy this contraceptive on her own. Whereas if this exception is not granted, and notice we're treating this as an exception, religious liberty as an exception to a general rule that the government can dictate what it is now dictating here. And that turns the presumptions, I submit, of our very fundamental system on their head. Presumably, we start with individual liberty.
Right. But you're getting way too broad here, Roger.
Well, okay. Fair enough. I mean, but this issue of presumptions has to be addressed.
Sure. Okay. We will get to that. But that's what happens when you get government saying that businesses should be doing health care, and that's a whole other issue. But so, David, go ahead real quick.
I mean, one, you're not really being fair with what is the right at stake, which is the right that the Affordable Care Act protects is access to the full range of contraceptives to employees and to insurance coverage, because some of for example, one of the contraceptives that Hobby Lobby objects to is the most expensive and the most successful form of contraceptive. So it's cutting out access to women who need and in many instances can't afford to pay for the care. And what Hobby Lobby wants to do is to deny those rights to employees who have their own religious beliefs. And I think that, you know, on balance, this is a loss of liberty. And employees shouldn't have to check their personal liberty and human dignity at the workplace door, especially when they are employed by a secular business that employs persons of all religious beliefs.
Okay. All right, we're going to continue that thread and talk about that and talk about how this seems to only be impacting the female employees. Is that fair? Is that going to be part of this question? There's so much here talking about the Affordable Care Act, religious freedom, corporate personhood, a lot of issues, lots of questions. We want our callers to jump in on this. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX, and we will be right back.
Support for KSTX comes from Providence Place, assisting teens and young women place their babies with loving families through open adoption. They also help young adults with disabilities through work and life skills training. More at provplace.org. Support for KSTX comes from KLRN, hosting dinner with Patty Hinich, host of Patty's Mexican Table, March 27th at Palenque Grill in Stone Oak. Dinner, cooking demos, and signed cookbook included. More at klrn.org/chef. Here's a win-win. You can donate your car to support KSTX. Get free towing and a tax deduction. Find out more about vehicle donations at tpr.org.
You're listening to The Source on KSTX. Coming up in the second half hour, we're going to be talking about robots taking over our jobs, this second age of automation, and what's it going to do to the working class. But right now we're talking about the Hobby Lobby case that was before the U.S. Supreme Court this morning, talking about the rights of the owners, the corporation, and the rights of the people who work there, the employees. Can the owners say, we don't want to provide you this birth control method because we're opposed to it morally? We see it as a form of abortion. Our guest this half hour is Roger Pilon. He's with the Center for Constitutional Studies at the Cato Institute, a libertarian think tank, and David H. Gans. He is with the Constitutional Accountability Center. So let me, we got a question through our email. When you can email questions and comments at the source at tpr.org. Ross writes in, if Hobby Lobby wins, what's to keep them or another company from saying we don't believe in Prozac or we don't believe in vaccinations or blood transfusions, et cetera? And that's the question that I think Sotomayor brought up, right, David?
That is the exact question. And I think it's notable that Justice Sotomayor, Justice Kagan, Justice Ginsburg all asked Paul Clement, so the superstar lawyer who represented Hobby Lobby, you know, under your rule, what happens to those cases? And he really had no answer. And I think what it points to is that what Hobby Lobby is seeking is really a far-reaching rule that would allow employers to override the rights of employees in a number of contexts.
And Roger, how would you respond to that question?
Well, I would respond as I did before, namely, this is the problem that you get into when the presumption is in favor of government rule and you treat religion as an exception. This turns our first principles as a nation on their head. The idea is that government is at perfect liberty to rule in any way it wishes, and then we have to carve out exceptions to it, such as religious exception. In a truly free society, an employer would be at perfect liberty to offer the employees group health insurance or not, and if they wish, to offer whatever coverage they wished. And so you wouldn't get into this business of exceptions for blood transfusions or this or that or the other thing. This would be a matter of free association. That's what freedom of association is all about.
Okay.
It's about associating only where there is mutual consent.
All right, but on a very practical question-answering thing, you know, if the Hobby Lobby says we don't want to provide this coverage, happens to be dealing with birth control, but someone else says we don't want to give coverage because of blood transfusions or what have you, then what's to stop them from doing that? And you're saying nothing. You don't want anyone. You think it should be allowed just to do whatever you want.
I am saying that this is exactly the situation that you get into when you reverse the presumptions. Then it becomes an ad hoc, case-by-case decision as to what seems, quote, reasonable. Is this reasonable? Is this not reasonable? That is exactly the situation we're in, and I'll give you the adage that captures it perfectly. It comes from President Obama. We're all in this together. If we're all in this together, then the only way we can dissociate ourselves from some collective undertaking is by making these case-by-case ad hoc decisions. Exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, let's get to some of our callers. Our number is 614-8980, 614-8980, if you want to call in and sound off on this. Matt has called in. Matt, thanks for calling in. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, nice to be here. I just wanted to say, as an employee, you don't have a right to anything besides what is stated in your contract with the employer. It is crazy to me. There are so many people that are supporting the government going in between employees and their employers and changing that contract. As an employee, the only thing you have a right to is what's in that contract. You don't have a right to birth control or blood transfusions or anything except if that's in your contract. And it's crazy to me that people are talking about personal liberty or freedom as if that's what we're talking about when we're limiting employers and telling them what they have to do. That is not liberty, and it is crazy to me that people think that it is.
All right, Matt, thanks for your comment and calling in. Appreciate that. David, you want to react to that?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, there are a number of rights employees have that are not in their contract, and they're protected by a long line of federal civil rights laws that, you know, I think provide protections that we all take for granted, protections against discrimination, protections to leave, to take care for a sick or a loved one. You know, and in this case, we have federal protections that make sure that we have insurance coverage. And the key part of the Affordable Care Act here, make sure that women can access preventative care, and that includes the full range of contraceptives, which is an important requirement that protects women's health and ensures they can make life choices to maximize their freedom. So I think to say all we look at is what the employee and the employer agree to is just that takes too narrow a view.
All right, let's get Clayton on the air. Clayton has called in. Clayton, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you, sir. This entire flap about birth control is a non-issue. It's been drummed up by the conservatives to keep the flames of the culture war fanned and give somebody some talking points for the next election. No judge in his right mind would entertain an argument like that for a second. What you do with the benefits that you earn is your business, period. And I will take listen to my responses off the air. Thank you.
All right, Clayton, thank you for calling in, and we appreciate that. And Roger Pilon from the Cato Institute, can you want to react?
Yes, your caller just now took the position exactly opposite the previous caller. The previous caller said you have no right to any particular benefits from an employee except those that you have contracted for. Now, David Gann said, no, you have all kinds of statutory rights. And, of course, David is right on that, but that is the problem. It is an interference with the free association between an employer and an employee. And that's what we've come to. And there's no reason why we should stop at this. There's no reason why we can't have regulation of every aspect of the employer and employee relationship. But then, of course, we've lost freedom. We live under the rule of whatever transient majority may give us. And that is what your caller just before this one made very clear. And your most recent caller said, yeah, I like that world whereby the legislature can dictate the rules that will apply in the marketplace of employment.
Okay, so David,
can I just respond to that?
Sure, go right ahead.
I mean, you know, I think the world Roger's talking about, where civil rights protections that we all count on to guarantee equal treatment are a denial of freedom. You know, that is a very warped vision and has no basis in our Constitution. And I think, you know, Roger talked about first principles, but, you know, Hobby Lobby's argument is entirely unprecedented. In over two centuries, you know, no court has ever said that secular businesses have free exercise rights and are allowed to override the rights of their workers and impose their religious views. So I'm all for first principles, but Roger just can't make any arguments grounded in them.
Let me get to the core of the matter here. This is not about the freedom of employees to access to contraceptives. This is about their demand that their employer pay for their contraceptives. That's really what this is all about.
All right, let's get another caller on the air. Camden has called in. Camden, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. So the subject is really fascinating. I personally have no problem with contraception, but also as a small business owner, kind of get nervous when I hear about the government imposing a limit. Typically, I fully agree with protections for employees, but it seems like typically the government will say you cannot do something. You cannot discriminate on the basis of race. You cannot discriminate against a pregnant woman. But this seems like the government saying that an employer has to do something. So that's it. That's my question.
All right, Camden, thanks for calling in. Let me ask about this corporate personhood, and this seems to be an evolving concept. We know Citizens United expanded corporate personhood, and could this be a case where we see that further expansion, Roger?
An employer doesn't lose his rights simply because he practices his entrepreneurial activities through the corporate form. There is an old adage called piercing the corporate veil, which comes to play when you've got liability. Here it can come to play with respect to religious. I mean, this is a closely held corporation. It is a family corporation of some 40 years standing, and these people don't give up their rights to religious liberty simply because they're complying, they're pursuing their livelihood through the corporate form.
Right. So, but David Gans from the Constitutional Accountability Center, does when you own a corporation and a business and you have employees, that get, does that give you the right to impose your religious beliefs onto your employees?
Right. I mean, you're absolutely right. It doesn't. And I think, you know, one, religious liberty has always been about human dignity and freedom of conscience, and it really makes very little sense as applied to business corporations like Hobby Lobby. And two, what Hobby Lobby really wants is to have its cake and eat it, too. They want all the special privileges, including limited liability, which Roger just mentioned. But when it comes to religious free exercise rights, they say, well, now we want to be treated as an individual and get these basic rights that have long been associated with human dignity. And I think that's fundamentally unfair and essentially allows corporations to game the system to take both special privileges as well as fundamental rights that belong to the individual.
David, you just restated David Gans's point, namely that the employer is imposing his religious beliefs on the employee. He's not imposing his religious beliefs on the employee. The employee is at perfect liberty to practice his or her religious beliefs. He's just not at liberty to force the employer to pay for his contraceptives when doing so would violate the beliefs of the employer.
So is a big part of this the fact that the government, the businesses are involved in providing health insurance, and if we just were able to just totally remove that and have a single-payer system outside of businesses, then that would be a solution for these types of conflicts of religious freedom. Roger?
Well, I mean,
yes, that would solve the problem, to be sure. I'm not in favor of it, but that would do it.
And David?
So your point brings up sort of another kind of critical question that Justice Kennedy raised, which is that Hobby Lobby is actually under no obligation to provide insurance coverage to its employees. If it does, it has to provide contraceptive coverage, but it could choose not to provide that coverage. It could instead pay a tax, and individuals who...
Well, it's a huge tax. It would be, you know, it's like $36 million if they don't provide...
Well, I mean, I think what Justice Kennedy said, it's basically a wash with what they already pay in health care to their employees. So I don't think...
And then Hobby Lobby says he can't compete if it does that. He can't get good employees.
Well, I mean, I don't see why that's so. If the objection is they don't want to pay this contraceptive coverage, they have an alternative.
All right.
I think,
so we will wait until, I guess, June when the Supreme Court comes out with their decision. It will certainly make news. It'll be a landmark decision one way or the other. Thank both of our guests, Roger Pilon from the Cato Institute, David Gans from the Constitutional Accountability Center. This is The Source on KSTX.